All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's, well, almost said Grimm's Uncanny Valley. Nope, it's Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we're back with more gore screaming show. Now, you might have noticed there is a not safe for work banner. Well, if I get that far, if I didn't, then you won't see it. But that means there is an H scene. So I kind of read a little ahead to see if we were really finished, and we're nowhere near finished, but there is an H scene. I do not like the art for it. You'll see why, but it might just be me. If it is, you can just whack me on the head or something. But let's go ahead and just get started. Kyoji stirs, the sunlight shining through the curtain is blinding him. His body feels so sluggish, he can't even tell if he's awake or not. His mind feels just as heavy. Even though the light is piercing through his closed eyelids, his frozen thoughts still have yet to thaw. A bird seems to be sitting on the porch's railing. He thought it would fly away now that he's awake, but it's just hopping around instead. Its gentle chirping mingles with a rhythmical pecking sound. The potted plant that Yamako sometimes waters on a whim and then neglects is somewhere over there. The bird's probably pecking at its seeds. Listening to this jaunty rhythm, reminiscent of tap dancing, starts to stir his consciousness into waking. He cracks his eye open, finding himself in his familiar room. His uniform and underwear are scattered across the floor right where he dropped them last night. He ended up not taking a bath yesterday. In fact, he toppled into the bed without even changing into his pajamas. Last night, after that explosion, thinking they could leave before anyone else arrived at the scene, he carried Akane down the mountain. The explosion was big enough that even the people at the bottom of the mountain must have noticed. It wouldn't be long before the police and firefighters showed up, to say nothing of spectators. They'd probably discover Yuka's corpse and dig Yoshiki's body out of the rubble. If Kyoji and Akane were still there, he had no idea what might happen. People would demand an explanation from them, and they didn't know anything themselves. Thankfully, Akane miraculously got away unscathed, and he only had a few bruises. If they could just get off the mountain before anyone showed up, they could pretend like nothing happened. They got off the game trail, reaching the Holkora they visited early with Yamako. By the time they got to the crossroads leading to the front shrine, he heard multiple sets of footsteps hurrying up the stone stairs. With Akane on his back, Kyoji hurried over to the Holkora. Standing behind it, he put Akane down and peered out towards the crossroads. He saw a group of men appear on the staircase. Look, I really did see a fire. We gotta call the fire department. With how dry the air is today, this fire could engulf the whole mountain. Kyoji remained hidden behind the small shrine as he watched them vanish into the distance. It was then that Akane let out a faint moan. Akane, you're awake! Kyoji squatted next to Akane. Akane blinked a few times, staring into space, dazed for a few moments with her lips parted. Akane? Akane, do you recognize me? Akane still looked dazed. She might have hit her head pretty hard when she landed on the ground. He couldn't bear the thought of something happening to her. That thought sent a chill down his back. Akane, stay with me! When he squeezed her hand, she finally recognized him. You're awake! Oh, thank goodness! He let out a long sigh. His relief drained all the tension from his body. Akane's hand sheepishly squeezed his hand in return. Does it hurt anywhere? Did you hit your head? Akane simply smiled up at him without saying a word. All right, but maybe you should go to the hospital, just to be on the safe side, and, His lips trembled, but he somehow managed to suppress the emotion surging up in him, saying his next words without letting his composure crumble. The old man, he's dead. When Yoshiki said the mansion would be gone, he must have been referring to the explosion. If Kyoji had realized what he meant sooner, he could have stopped him. The sky beyond the trees was still red. He could hear the sirens of fire engines wailing in the distance. Akane said nothing, simply staring blankly at Kyoji. They ended up leaving Mount Nishimori by blending in with the gathering spectators. Akane probably hit her head after all. Her gait seemed unsteady at first, but soon enough she was walking just fine on her own again. Kyoji escorted her to her doorstep, at which point she looked around inquisitively. Hey, Akane, are you sure you're all right? Akane spins in place for a moment, her skirt flapping. I'm fine. Really? Shouldn't you go to the hospital, just in case? She wordlessly shook her head and then waved at him, her eyes still looking a bit unfocused. See you, Kyoji. After that, Kyoji went home alone, the sirens of fire engines echoing the distance. It felt like they were blaring for a long, long time. He doesn't really remember what happened next. He got the impression Yamako asked him what happened, but he doesn't remember what he told her. When he got to his room, he pretty much went out like a light. However, looking around made it pretty clear to him what happened after that. Letting out a long, heavy breath, Kyoji slowly sits up. Noticing his presence, the bird on the porch hurriedly flaps its wings and flies off. The idea that something like yesterday happened in this average, uneventful life seems unreal, or feels unreal, but yesterday's events really did take place. His aching joints and the small, darkening bruises dotting his body serve as proof. Has Yoshiki's corpse been discovered yet? If it hasn't, he hopes they'll discover it soon. At the very least, he deserves a proper burial. Though maybe it's not his place to say that, given he left Yoshiki behind on the verge of death and ran away. He feels disgusted, as if he was forced to drink bitter medicine. With Yoshiki's death, all the disturbing things that have been happening to Kyoji have probably come to an end. But what is he gonna tell Yamako? Morning! When he heads to the dining room, he finds Yamako leaning on the table, staring absentmindedly at her hands. She's gripping a white envelope, her head is bowed and her shoulders are slumped. She looks completely exhausted. And yet, her fingers clench the envelope so tightly, her fingertips have turned white. Yamako-san. Kyo-chan, you're up. Yeah, what time is it? It's past noon. You slept so soundly, I just couldn't wake you. Yamako casually stuffs the envelope into her skirt pocket. You want me to fix you something? You must be hungry. Yeah. He doesn't have much of an appetite, but he nods anyway. But even as he does, he can't hide his confusion. Something feels off. After a moment, he realizes what it is. It's the way she's talking. It's not her usual slow, calm manner of speaking with her tendency to trail off. She sounds so normal. It doesn't feel right. Say, Yamako-san, is something wrong? Something like what? I don't know. Yamako is reheating a bento in the kitchen. From his position, he can't really see her expression. Maybe I'll have lunch with you too. I haven't had anything yet. It's not her usual carefree manner of speaking, but it's not particularly gloomy either. She soon returns to the table with two plates of spaghetti, a soft smile on her lips. How does she feel about Yoshiki's continued absence? He has no idea. He still isn't sure if he should tell her anything or not. He doesn't know what happened to the fire yesterday, if any bodies were discovered, or what the media made of the whole affair. He has so much to ask, but he can't bring himself to do so. The TV is quietly playing something in the living room, but it's just a silly variety show. Having given it some thought, he cautiously asks her a question. Aren't you gonna heat up a plate for the old man? No, I mean, he doesn't need it anymore. What do you mean by that? Yamako places the plastic fork that came with the spaghetti on the table. Her eyes gaze directly at Kyoji. Kyo-chan, why don't you tell me everything you know? She knows. Yamako knows Yoshiki's dead. No, maybe she even knows everything else to some degree. He parts his lips, not sure what to tell her, or where to even begin. Does he tell her about Yoshiki's severed arm? About how Yoshiki told him to leave him behind and he did so? About how Momone died with a shard of glass stuck in her head? About how Yuka's small body ended up smashed against a pile of rubble? His mouth is open, but no words will leave his throat. His lips and mouth are unpleasantly dry. Yamako patiently places her hands onto the table, clasped together with interlocking fingers. Kyo-chan, Start from the beginning and take as long as you need. Tell me everything that happened, no matter how strange. Yamako-san, I... No one's going to judge you. You're not at fault here. I just want to know the truth. Yamako's voice sounds nothing like it usually does. It's calm, grown up. It's like a weight is suddenly lifted from his body. All his pent-up tension drains out of him. Just as she asked, Kyoji tells her everything. Their conversation lasts for a long time, going back and forth. Yamako knows how and when to ask all the right questions, and is in general a good listener. Since he hasn't completely shaken off his confusion, his explanations are haphazard. Nonetheless, Yamako listens patiently, only pausing occasionally to summarize his tale neatly. Kyoji ends up going entirely silent a few times. Whenever he wants to talk about Yoshiki, Kyoji's memories of him playing the guitar and his dying body flash in his mind one after another, rendering him speechless. But every time that happens, Yamako waits for him in silence. Their half-eaten spaghetti sits between them, now completely cold. At some point, dust begins to color the sky. The TV begins showing the evening news with a female anchor briskly describing a small festival in some small country or another. Once he finishes telling Yamako everything, he's overcome with intense exhaustion. It feels like every body in his bone has turned to mush. Yamako folds her fingers, pensively folding her hands under her chin. But after a while, she suddenly gets to her feet. The room suddenly brightens up. She switched the lights on. Look at the time. It's already dark. She's beginning to return to her usual tone. Kyoji manages a tired smile. Yamako-san, do you believe me? Yamako tilts her head quizzically as she takes a bottle of water out of the fridge. Of course I believe you, silly. But why? Is it because you write for an occult magazine? Is that why you believe in supernatural phenomena? That's not why. Most of the things those kinds of magazines write are bogus anyway. I thought Abraze wasn't like other occult magazines. Kyoji asks that question teasingly, but Yamako answers with a straight face. It's very unique. They've got me writing for them after all. But that's not why I believe you. I believe you because your story is coherent. It is? Which part? Kyoji asks with a self-deprecating laugh, but Yamako says nothing. Instead, she claps her hands together as if she just remembered something. You don't know because you slept through the morning. But the mansion where that Yuka-chan lives, I think it was ruled an arson. Did the news mention something about Yuka or Yoshiki-san? Did they, like, find their bodies? Not yet. They just left it at. The fire department and the police are still investigating, but it's considered a closed case. It's just local news, so it won't make that big of a story. You'll probably want to check tomorrow's newspaper for the details. Right. The incident might have shaken Kyoji's entire worldview, but for the rest of the world, it isn't a particularly big deal. People frequently die in large numbers all around the world. There's always something big happening somewhere. Compared to those, this story is minor. Except, they interviewed people living around here. Everyone was adamant that they had no idea there was a house out there. Come to think of it, his homeroom teacher, the Sandman, said the same thing. What was that house, really? Try as he might to think, though, his mind refuses to work. Yamako pats Kyoji on the shoulder. Now, let's actually eat something this time. We didn't have lunch, after all. Oh, should I pop out and get something? Kyoji starts to get up, but Yamako proudly puffs out her chest. Heh. I figured this might happen, so I prepared something ahead of time. Huh? What? You actually cooked? Of course not! When I went to the convenience store this morning, I bought dinner too. I got spicy hamburger and bang bang chicken and Chinese style miso stir fried meat doria with Mediterranean style penne pasta. Which one do you want? Why did you pick all these bentos that sound kind of good but also kind of nasty? Being adventurous with your food is fun. It also keeps you from getting too hidebound, you know? Life needs a bit of spice. I used to make something a long time ago, and apparently it's a fucking real thing now, but it was called chili and noodles. I would cook pasta, and I'd cook chili, and I'd take the chili and I'd put the noodles in the chili. And you might say, Grim, that's the most horrible tasting thing I think I've ever heard. But now, somebody said, well, goddammit, I'm gonna take Grimm's idea, and I'm gonna make money off of it. And they decided to take my chili and noodles and put it in a can and sell it to people. So I don't know if it's better than my recipe, but yep, that's kind of what I did as far as making food adventures. The thing about me with cooking is I'm too much like Yamako. What happens if I do this? What happens if I do that? Somewhere a family is thankful that they are not having to sample my experiments every night, because I love to experiment with food. I was more of a mad scientist than a cook. I prefer normal food if it's all the same to you. Bah! Kyoji complains, but Yamako only smiles at him softly. Mm-hmm. And once you're done eating, let's get you to bed. You look tired. Yeah, I am. But guess what? I gotta finish this. A reassuring word soak into his heart. It's hard to believe that he felt so glum just a few hours ago. As he realizes how Yamako intentionally lightened the mood, Kyoji cracks a smile. Yamako then mischievously narrows her eyes and adds, ah, but don't forget to take a shower, you hear? Yeah, I gotta do that too. I've been sweating at work. Yeah, and I'll handle it by myself. She encouragingly pats him on the head. The shower after dinner really does make him feel better. While they eat, they talk about trifling matters. They roast the new comedian on TV, compete to see who can answer the questions on a quiz show first, and rib each other for getting them wrong. Both of them make a conscious effort not to address the elephant in the room. That's doesn't sound like an elephant at all. Once Yoshiki's body is discovered, Yamako will have to become involved. He did stay in her home after all. Sounded like a coyote. She isn't saying anything to Kyoji, but Yamako's probably busy thinking about all the things she's going to have to do. But with her speaking the way she usually does, it's hard to tell. After his shower, he topples into bed, feeling his body sink into the sheets. His eyes settle on his guitar of their own accord. He hasn't been in the mood to play in a while, and now the man who promised to teach him is gone. Maybe crying would ease the pain a little, but as callous as it makes Kyoji feel, for some reason, his tears won't flow, even after he saw the gruesome state Yoshiki was in before his death. He rolls to the edge of his bed, reaches down and fishes for his uniform trousers. Fumbling through the pockets, he's looking for his phone.
Akane, I wonder how she's doing.
He pulls up her number and calls her, but it just keeps on ringing. She was acting strange last night, but maybe you shouldn't blame her. Not after she got caught in that blast wave of an explosion and thrown clear like something out of an action movie. Did she ever go to the hospital after that? He hopes her parents didn't scold her too much. As the phone rings and rings, he thinks about what he'll say to her. It doesn't seem like she's gonna pick up, though. After a moment, he finally remembers. Right. She threw away her phone back at the mansion. When Gore popped up on her phone screen, Akane screamed and threw it against the floor. That means she lost the Mandarin oven strap she had on her phone, too. She'll probably be sad when she realizes it. Maybe he can find another in an idle souvenir shop. As he thinks about it, his eyelids flutter shut without him realizing it. Around the time he starts nodding off, the door softly opens and the light is switched off. Kyoji's so sleepy that he doesn't even say goodnight to Yamako.
Yamako-san, are you going out?
When Kyoji goes into the living room, he sees Yamako dressed not in her signature casual wear, but instead in a stylish but practical outfit. She looks completely different when she's dressed up like this. As she puts on a wristwatch, she speaks to him with slightly more brisk tone than he's used to from her. Kyo-chan, stay home and rest today. You're still tired, right? Kyoji frowns as he pours himself a cup of coffee from the machine. No pushing yourself. You went through something terrible. There's no way you're fully recovered. Well, unlike you, I'm still young. You think you get to talk, you little brat? She pinches his cheek hard. Ow. Yamako lets up on punishing him with surprising ease instead pointing at the table. If you get hungry, get yourself something to eat. I left some money on the table. You're off to work? Something like that. I'll be off then. She waves and leaves the apartment in a hurry. She went from a joking tone to a normal one so quickly that... first yawn of the night. That he gets the feeling she was playing along with his joke. Upon hearing the front door close, he realizes he didn't even get up to see her off. He heaves a sigh, exhausted. He slides halfway down his chair, looking up at the ceiling. With Yamako gone, the silence starts to affect him. Some children pass by the front of the building. He can hear their chatter, then it fades. Somehow this makes him feel very lonely. Come to think of it, were Yoshiki's, Yuka's, Momone, and Gore's corpses ever discovered? Kyoji wavers between reaching for the newspaper on the table and switching the TV on. His hand wanders between the remote and the newspaper, but eventually plops down between them, having taken neither. I wonder how Akane's doing. A whisper escapes his lips. He blushes inadvertently. Once the desire to see her fills him, there's no stopping it. He wants to see Akane. Akane's the only one who's truly able to empathize with what Kyoji went through. Yamako can understand, yes, but understanding is no substitute for having shared the experience. He wants to see her, desperately. Kyoji instantly gets up from his chair. Rather than waste a day here, he's better off going out to see her. But just as he heads to his room to get dressed, he hears the doorbell ring.
Who is it now?
Kyoji grimaces, feeling as though the ringing doorbell is taking the wind out of his sails.
Yes, who is it?
He peers through the peephole, only for a smile to bloom across his face. He hurriedly unlocks the door and ushers the visitor in.
Akane!
Hello! Akane steps inside with a smile. How are you feeling? Are you still in pain anywhere? You were worried about me, Kyoji? She peers up at him from under her eyelashes and gives him a dazzling smile. With her hands folded behind her back, she leans forward slightly, gazing into his eyes. Well, yeah. Seeing Akane's face so close like this sends his heart flutter. Heh, I'm so happy to hear that. You've been the only thing on my mind too, Kyoji. Akane? His face goes hot. This is the first time Akane has ever been so direct. And her expression is somehow really different from before. It's not bashful in the slightest. Instead, it's fawning, even pleading. They spent an evening on the razor's edge between life and death. Did that change something in her? Akane gently places her hands on Kyoji's chest. I've missed you so much. She sweetly exhales those words. She stands up on tiptoe, bringing her face closer to his. A moment later, he can feel her lips touch his. Hey! Kiss me back, Kyoji. Her face feels like it's on fire. What's gotten into you? I mean, after what just happened the other day, why are you so... Let's not talk about that. Akane frowns in displeasure. We're finally all by ourselves, you know? Some part of him wants to tell her this is inappropriate. The deaths of Yoshiki and Yuka are burned into his memories. But Akane's right before him, her large eyes gleaming and her words alluringly seductive. I want to feel you, Kyoji. Akane wraps her hands around his back and presses her body tightly against his. Her soft breasts press against him. He can even feel her crotch through her skirt. Even through his slacks, he can feel the softness of her thighs as he hooks one of her legs around his. Her voice is sweet and coaxing. His reason flies out the window. Before he even knows it, he's hugging Akane's slender body tightly. Akane's face feels very close to his in this dim room. So very close, by the way, guys. Not just very close, so very close to his in this dim room. Her lips somehow look redder than usual, with a glossy sheen to them. Her faint, sweet breath tickles his nostrils. Her wide-eyed gaze is locked on him. There's something alien in the depth of those eyes. Something that is vaguely alarming on a subconscious level. What he sees there wasn't the lively, upbeat girls he knows. Upbeat girl he knows, a moist, obscene glint. As if transfixed by that glint, Kyoji finds himself unable to move as Akane's hands roam across his body. The soft touch of her hand stroking his crotch, however, makes him pull back reflexively. The 2 weeks since he moved back to this town and reunited with Akane have been tumultuous. He'd be lying if he said that he never thought that something like this might happen once they became a couple, eventually. But this isn't anything like what he's imagined, however vaguely. Her fingers fumble for his fly. The sound of his zipper being pulled down is strangely loud in the slightly chilly room. Akane! Akane's eyes twinkle as she looks up at him teasingly and proceeds to unbutton his skirt. Halfway through, she grimaces. Kyoji follows her gaze, looking down at his chest, and she sees that she's looking at Yoshiki's memento, the pendant hanging from his neck. Akane's usually cheerful expression clouds over. That thing scares me. Can you put it somewhere where I can't see it? It scares you? Why? I mean, I don't want to be reminded of that severed arm. I mean, who would? Something about Akane's words feels off. This is a keepsake from Yoshiki, yet the way she speaks of it is just horrible. But at the same time, he can't really argue with her reasoning either. She's also a girl. Such vivid and painful memories of that grotesque sight might be too much for her to bear. He has a feeling the old Akane would have never said this, but then she's been acting more feminine lately. With that in mind, he nods and takes off the pendant. Seeing as the mere sight of it makes her feel so awful, he safely tucks it away in his desk drawer. As he returns to the bed, he sees that Akane looks relieved now. The moment he comes close to her, she brings her lips to his member without hesitation. Hey, Akane! Ugh. Defying his will, his member becomes erect, revealing itself to Akane in all its glory. She gazes at it with entranced eyes. So that's your dick. Look at how big it is. I'm very lucky. And with her eyes still fixed on his, Akane kisses the tip of his cock. Ugh. It feels like electricity is racing through his spine. That sensation soon gives way to sweet tingling that envelops his lower body. Akane, what the hell's gotten into you? This is surreal. Akane isn't the kind of girl to do this sort of thing out of nowhere. He's confused. His mind feels muddled. Why is he bearing his privates to her like this? She briefly breaks eye contact and says evasively, "Nothing's gotten into me. I just love you so much more now." Her large eyes bore into Kyoji's, her cheeks slightly flushed. I want to do everything for you, to make you feel good, and I want you to do nice things to me too. You and me, we're grown up now, so I want us to have sex, just like grown-ups do. She then whispers with a wavering voice. Don't you love me, Kyoji? Am I not a woman to you? Don't be silly, that's not it. Kyoji ardently denies her question. Whoops. Yeah, I should be. I hope I'm recording this. Hold on, I gotta check this for just a second, guys. Give me a second. Yep, it's good. Just wanted to make sure we were recording that. I mean, I love you too, Akane. And it's not that I don't want to do this. I do, well, want to be with you. Embarrassment ends up making his words sound curt. Really? Oh, I'm so happy. Her forlorn expression from just a moment ago instantly transforms into a broad smile as she draws closer to him. She giggles before as if a switch were just flipped inside her. She brings her tongue to Kyoji's groin. A numbling, ticklish sort of stimulus causes him to tremble. You're so sensitive, Kyoji. Does it feel good, or does it hurt? As she asks him that, she pokes against his tip with her tongue. Hey, wait up, Akane. Ah, it's getting bigger. So you like that. Her soft, wet, smooth tongue ticklishly crawls over his tip. How about this? It's your first time, right, Kyoji? He can't utter a word. Her tongue attacks the head of his erect member with completely unpredictable movements. This is weird sex music, folks. Tell me, does this feel good? She persistently traces his tip with her tongue while directing her upturned gaze towards his face. As she does, she occasionally presses her soft lips against him as well, gently sucking on his member's head. You know, this is my first kiss. I had my first kiss with your dick. As she spells obscenities he never imagined she could utter, she continues licking his genitals. You're shaking like you can't wait anymore. Tell me, do you want to go inside me? You simply can't believe this sultry voice he's hearing is Akane's. Akane, are you serious? We can't. But I'll make you feel even better before we do that. She opens her mouth and slips the tip of Kyoji's member between her lips. Ah! Ugh! He can't figure out if this unfair sensation feels hot or cold. Her moist mouth slowly engulfs Kyoji's penis as she starts bobbing her head up and down. How's this? Does it feel good? Stop it, Akane. That's dirty. No, it's not. It's not dirty at all. This is you. The grip on her lips have his on. Excuse me. The grip on her. The grip her lips have on his member gradually tightens. Before long, the entirety of his member is inside her mouth. She uses every inch of her oral cavity to squeeze down on him as she draws herself back up towards his tip. You make some pervy sounds for a boy, Kyoji. She continues to suck on him so hard it feels like his whole body is being pulled inside her. Her narrowed lips trace the shape of his rod, once again holding his full girth inside her mouth. I'll do more. The bobbing of her head gradually quickens, and during the stimulation she's focusing upon his private, she watches his erection go in and out of her mouth. The saliva that overflows from her mouth teases him with obscene noises. He moans as she sucks upon him harder and harder. Soon she's taking him so deep that her face is right up against his crotch, letting her breath blow ticklishly across his groin. He's overwhelmed by the pleasure of the girl he loves going so far for his sake. Her muffled, somewhat strained breaths only fan the flames of his libido. Heat builds up in his lower half. His body wobbles as if weightless. He doesn't know what to do with his hands. Eventually, he seizes Akane's head as if for support. Sorry, I just didn't think. It's alright. Do what you want. It's fine. But even with her urging him to do whatever he pleases, using her head like a mere object makes him uncomfortable. Unable to think of anything else, he rests his hands on her head and only moves together with her own motions, rather. Akane, I can't. I'm gonna. Oh, you're coming. I mean, let go of me or I'll be. No, keep going. You can come. It's fine. Hey! Ignoring his words, Akane vigorously sucks on his cock. Hurry up. Let me drink your stuff. She sucks exceptionally hard on him, as if to push him over the edge. The moment he feels her lips grip the very root of his rod, something gushes up through his lower body. Hurry up, give it to me! Can't! He instinctively seizes Akane's head and pulls it to him while thrusting his hips forward, feeling his white cum gush violently from his hip. Tip, not his hip. Muffled cries escape her mouth. He squeezes his eyes shut, gripped with tension. His member trembles within her mouth a few times, spurting thick sperm with every throb. Even as he fills her mouth with thick, viscous fluid, her tongue continues moving, practically stirring the stuff around while stroking his member's head. The caresses fill his member with a sensation that borders on pain through post-ejaculation sensitivity. But Kyoji steadfastly endures, basking in the afterglow of his pleasure. Her lips cling tightly to his crotch. As her warm breath blows against his skin, a pleasant feeling reminiscent of relief washes through him. Without being conscious of it, he cradles her head and lovingly combs through her hair, causing her to let out sweet moans. Her throat bobs gently. She's drinking the fluids he ejaculated. The realization fills him with a belated sense of guilt. It must smell bad, and probably taste weird, too. Yet despite that, she gulps it down without so much of a grimace. She takes her time, sucking on his tip like a straw before looking up with a victorious gleam in her eyes. As his rod leaves her lips, strands of sticky fluid stretch between it and her mouth, drooping until they soil her slender jaw. There's so much. I'm glad you came so hard in my mouth. A strand of her tussled walnut hair hangs over her eyes. It's so erotic it makes him shudder. Akane doesn't look like herself. She doesn't even look like she's the same age as him anymore. Instead, she looks like a much older, experienced, mature woman. She looks up at Kyoji with an incredibly obscene smile. His member stands larger than ever before her slit, glistening with cum and saliva. Unable to look at her, he averts his gaze. He tries to casually pull his waist back, but before he can escape, her hand slips around his member and starts stroking him up and down. Hey! You want to do it, right? To put your dick inside me? To fuck my pussy? Hey, Akane, do you understand what you're... He's taken aback by the unabashed obscenity spewing from her mouth. When it happened, when they made us do it, her tone is entirely casual, even as she continues caressing Kyoji's cock without pause. Back then you came right away, right? You spilled it all over my pussy. Even though your dick didn't go inside me back then, I kept thinking, What if maybe we'd made a baby after all? Ah, but I never had to worry about that. When I later learned that's not how it works, I did feel a little disappointed. He can't believe Akane can talk about that incident from their past in such an indifferent, no, amused manner. It feels like she's intentionally picking the most obscene, lewd words she can. Her blushing face is filled with a feverish expression. Seeing it feels terribly strange, but her groping becomes even more passionate, as if to wipe that thought from his mind. Each one of her fingers strokes in a different rhythm as she moves her hand up and down his rod, spreading their mixed fluids across his member. With the quickness of a cat, Akane thrusts her face towards Kyoji, sending the sweet scent of her body through his nose. Heh, you're still big. Do you want to fuck me senseless with that thing? Akane. You want to do it? You do, right, because I do. I really want to do it. I want you to fuck me senseless, Kyoji. I really do. Her face moves even closer, letting her passionate panting, wash across his skin. Her eyes, which retain their youthful light, stare directly into his. So let's do it. Let's do it lots of times. Akane smiles gently while taking off her blouse. By now the sun has finished setting, causing her pale skin to be painted in the mystifying shades of twilight. Her mature, womanly breasts are soon revealed to him. They're faintly quivering. Come on, touch my boobs. He reaches out with both hands, gently grabbing her two mounds. They're soft. He tightens his grip on her breasts and they change shape pliantly under his grasp. Still unsure of exactly what he should be doing, he gropes her gently, but even that makes Akane start moaning out loud. Her breasts are almost ephemerally soft, just the orange-pink tips are beginning to harden to his touch. I'm so happy. Touch me more. He experimentally pinches her puckering buds between his index fingers and thumbs, sending a jolt throughout her body. He continues tweaking both her nipples while using his palms to knead her breasts. Like that. Keep going. Keep touching me just like that. With her hand still around Kyoji's cock, she brings her butt closer to it. She uses her free hand to reach for her crotch, spreading her lower lips. I'm putting it in. I'm giving you my first time. Her fingers feel for an opening as she gradually lowers her hips. The moment his hip touches her genitals, the memory of what happened between them 3 years ago resurfaces in his thoughts. This feels the same as back then. No, not quite. Back then she was colder and more closed up, but this softness is just like before. Should he really go ahead and do this? Is this really the right thing to do? But even as those doubts fill his mind unbidden, Akane takes the lead and completes the act. His tip enters her vagina. For a second it feels as though he's run into a dead end, but then Akane forcefully pushes her body further down. Their waists pressed against each other. She lets out a throaty cry. Kyoji can't contain his moans either, overwhelmed by her tightness. This is so tight, it hurts, this doesn't feel good at all. Akane's body swallows Kyoji, making her moist walls of flesh constrict painfully around his member. She's so tight that he worries she might go numb. It hurts. She lets out a husky breath. Hey, Akane, don't move. Her body is trembling so violently that even breathing takes effort. The two of them remain still for a while, simply holding on to each other. As they gasp for breath, the sensation of their entwined genitals blossoms. Unable to withstand it any longer, Kyoji begins slowly moving his body. This feels weird. Does it still hurt? I'll be fine. I want to move to more. Give me more. Akane begins to bounce her butt. Her movements draw his gaze towards her joint genitals. Even in the shadows of the darkened room, he can see how his erect penis pierces her pussy, slowly pumping in and out of her. Whoa! Kyoji tightens his grip, and her malleable breasts take on the form of his hands. Between his fingers, he can feel her nipples harden and swell further. This feels kind of weird. Her movements soon find a rhythm. Her folds, which before now felt as though they were strangling his shaft, now gradually grow gradually slicker until he slides smoothly in and out of her. Each of her motions causes her nipples to stretch, straining against his fingers. The stimulation only makes Akane moan even more obscenely. Good, it's so good. My boobs, too, they feel so good. I didn't know that it would feel so good. She wildly bucks her hips as a strained howl escapes her mouth, sending intense stimulation shooting through Kyoji's sensitive shaft. Oh, wait! It happens without any warning. An electric sensation explodes throughout his lower body, and in the blink of an eye, he ejaculates. The pleasure drowns out any possibility of conscious thought. He embraces Akane's body, greedily thrusting in his lust as he feasts upon the overflowing pleasure. The heat that overcomes him now is entirely different from anything he's ever felt before. Her body continues to dance atop Kyoji's. The once painfully tight folds of her pussy are now slick and soft. Each slow, rhythmic gyrating of her body releases wet sounds from where their bodies are joined. Fluid strip freely from their entwined genitals. It's going inside me. My body, my belly feels warm. It feels kind of weird. Sorry, I couldn't help it. No, don't get me wrong. It felt really good, so it's fine. As she speaks in a cute, slightly nasal voice, Akane brings her face closer to Kyoji's. Doing so intensifies the sticky interaction of their bodies, causing her to let out an adorable moan. I like this too. It feels good. Let's do more. I want to have more sex with you, Kyoji. Yeah, but this might be kind of risky. Akane resumes moving her body, making it unclear if she's listening to him at all. She squeezes her eyes shut, furrowing her brow ever so slightly as she gyrates her hips, guiding his member even deeper inside her. I still haven't had enough. I still feel weird. Piercing her hands on his chest, she grinds her slender girlish hips against him. With each movement, the cocktail of his semen and her nectar leaks out from where their bodies are joined. And you're still hard, right? You can still keep going. It feels like I'm almost there. It feels like just a little more and something will. She starts bouncing her body up and down. Semen from his ejaculation mere moments ago spills from her vagina, producing even louder, wetter sounds. No more. This feels strange. His cockhead dips deep inside her body. Whenever it pulls back towards your entrance, it dredges strands of sticky fluids out with it. I can't stop. My body won't stop. Now even wetter and slicker than before, her vagina embraces and strokes his member. Kyoji thrusts his hips with reckless abandon. Just a little more, and I'm gonna come! I'm coming! Gonna come! Akane moans, her eyes moist. She arches her back to the point of pain, throwing her hips down as love juices gush from her body, staining the white sheets. No, I can't hold it in anymore. I'm gonna come, coming! Me too, I can't last any longer. I'm gonna come, go ahead, come. Ah, come inside me, come lots inside me. Her hands dig into Kyoji's shoulder as her walls clench around his member more tightly than ever before. The sharp burning sensation of his third ejaculation of that day explodes out from his loins, through his tip and into Akane. Come for me. Her body slowly collapses onto his. Now that his ejaculation is concluded, his organ turns flaccid at last. Yet their genitals, now soaked with their fluids, continue to caress each other. His limp member eventually emerges from her depths, allowing the second load of cum inside her to spill out over her thighs. So hot. You came so much. Ah. Pardon me. You know, coming the same time as you felt really, really good. She slowly reaches between her legs and stuffs a finger into her dripping pussy. The sound of something being whipped into a foam soon fills the room. Amazing. It just keeps coming out, see? She presents her fingers to him. They're covered in sticky fluids that almost remind Kyoji of steaming egg whites. She then pops her fingers into her mouth. It tastes different from before. This doesn't feel real. He can't believe Akane would ever do something like this. As he stares at her dumbfounded, he manages to respond to her. Well, I mean, it's got your stuff mixed into it, too. Oh, don't say that, jeez. She pouts while giving him that bashful reply, but then she nuzzles her face against Kyoji's. With a languid smile, she gently presses her lips to his. We really messed up the sheets. Akane pouts as she whispers to him. It's because you come so much. As Akane rests her head on his chest, he gently strokes her hair. Soon enough, he has her sighing adorably in his embrace. Some part of his mind is numb. The whole room feels like a dark, hazy hideaway. Everything seems heavy. Maybe he's exhausted after the act because his whole body feels languid. Merely thinking feels like a drag. Oh right, Yamako-san might be back any minute now. He should probably get up, but that seems like too much of a bother. Akane languidly sits up, fluid spill out from between her legs and forming new stains on the sheets. Ah, it's still leaking out. Could you give me some tissues? Yeah. He pulls a few from the nearby box and hands them to Akane. She accepts them with a quick thanks and starts wiping herself off. The sight of her doing so makes his pulse quicken again. Her eyes flick towards Kyoji. She flashes him a suggestive smile as she continues cleaning herself. What? Are you in the mood for another round now? No, not particularly. Hey, what are you saying? Hey, you're funny. She beams as she brushes her hair, which is spilling over her chest. Now that the heat of their tryst is starting to die down, he realizes that the room feels even darker and colder than it was when Akane came in. Yamako walks to the train station, stopping in front of the storage lockers. 3650. This is it. She produces a manila envelope from her pocket. Inside the envelope is a key. After confirming the number on the key, she inserts it into the keyhole. But when she tries to turn the key, it won't budge. On closer inspection, the digital screen on the locker door displays a negative balance. You're leaving me with a bill too? Stupid Yoshiki. She blurts that out despite herself, earning herself troubled glances from passerby. Still pouting, she removes her purse from her handbag. The sum on the screen is his pocket change, but it still irks her off that he pulled one last trick on her right at the very end. Yoshiki always was that way, eternally reckless, and always screwing up at the last minute. Honestly, looking at Kyoji reminds her of how Yoshiki used to be. When the locker finally opens, there's another manila envelope inside, the kind that any stationery store keeps in stock. The envelope is bulky. When she takes it out of the locker, it feels heavy in her hands. The envelope in hand, Yamako goes into a coffee shop. She can't bear the thought of waiting until after returning home to read it. The envelope contains a thick black leather personal organizer, some assorted documents, a few photos, a map, and a notebook. Apparently the organizer doubled as sort of a diary. Would he mind her reading it? No, he must have assumed she'd read it from the start. Although written in a diary format, the contents all focus on a single incident. On the beings Yuka and Gore's screaming show. Nursing a cup of coffee, she reads on. She leans forward until she's at the edge of her seat with her nose buried in the organizer on the table. Eventually, she realizes her head, supported by one hand, is hurting. She orders a few refills of coffee as time goes on, but probably they'd still rather she didn't hog the table. Thankfully, the coffee shop is relatively empty at this time of day. The owner and waitress are chatting at the counter. The dissonance between their laughter and the gravity of what she's reading is almost hilarious. It can't be. She whispers to herself as she finishes reading the organizer. What's written in there isn't possible. It is that fishy quality of something published in an occult magazine. The contents are such that even Yamako, of all people, thinks so. And yet, Yoshiki hated occult stuff far more than she does. Whenever Yamako and Tsuyumi told each other ghost stories, he'd look on coldly and wax sarcastic. What's more, this case seems to be related to the suspicious circumstances surrounding the death of Tsuyumi, Yoshiki's wife. At least as far as Yoshiki was concerned, what's written in here is the truth. But isn't it all over? The girl, the enemy he'd hunted for so long, had perished along with him. His vengeance was complete. She gulps down her now cold coffee, one of the several she has ordered by now. Yamako gathers up Yoshiki's things and wearily gets to her feet. On the way home, she stops by a convenience store to buy two bentos. Hopefully Kyoji has cheered up a little. After seeing so many impossible things in such a short period of time, it's taken more of a toll on him. He's still so young, so he should recover quickly, but I guess I'm in no position to worry about other people. She can't help but laugh at herself. She might very well have a harder time getting over Yoshiki's death in Kyoji. Her childhood friend is dead. With that realization weighing heavily on her mind, Yamako walks slowly through the night. I'm home! When she opens the door and calls out, there's no answer, even though Kyoji should be home by now. Silence hangs over the apartment, and the lights are off. Puzzled, Yamako switches on the lights and has a look around. She peers into the living room, but everything looks exactly as it did when she left this morning, save for Kyoji's absence. Is he asleep in his room? With a bento box in hand, she heads towards Kyoji's room. So many bad things have happened recently. Maybe she should surprise him in his sleep, make him laugh a little. With that in mind, she throws his door open without any warning. Whoa! Yamako's eyes widen in disbelief as Kyoji jumps up in his bed. What the hell? Don't just burst in without knocking. Kyoji quickly zips up his slacks, hiding behind him is another figure. The curtains are closed, making the room quite dark. Yet even without being able to see clearly, Yamako can recognize the half-naked girl behind Kyoji, Akane. Oh my, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. She tries to play the situation off as a joke. She reflexively assumes that turning a blind eye with a smile would be the best course of action. But she's surprised that Akane doesn't look embarrassed. Instead, she stares fixedly right at Yamiko. Akane's sharp eyes seem to bore straight through her. Well, I suppose I'll just make myself scarce and leave you two lovebirds to it. But right as Yamiko spins around, Akane suddenly lets out a saccharine moan. Oh gosh, there's still some coming out. You really do come so much, Kyoji. Her coquettish voice leaves Kyoji flustered. Akane, hey! Could you get some tissues, Kyoji, please? Yamiko furrows her brow, then leaves the room without turning around. She throws the bento box into the fridge and slams the door shut. What's gotten into her? That was unpleasant. The Akane she knows is a cheerful, straightforward, and pleasant girl. At the very least, Akane was never the kind of girl who would say such obscenities. That clearly flirtatious attitude of hers, there's only one way of interpreting her actions. She is flaunting her relationship with Kyoji at Yamiko. It's as if she thinks Yamiko is somehow a rival for Kyoji's affection. Well, a girl her age might think that way when she's in love. But still, up until just recently, her relationship with Akane was the kind of sisterly love you'd expect from a student her age. Why did their relationship change so suddenly? Was it like the plot of a horror movie? Were going through a terrifying experience would make two people succumb to an act of passion, changing the nature of their relationship? But so soon after Yoshiki died, she whispers it to herself before she realizes it, pulling her out of her thoughts. Something about Akane's behavior rubs her the wrong way, but at the same time, maybe she's being unreasonable. Yoshiki was her childhood friend she knew for years. I didn't know that. But to those two, he was a man they only knew for a few days. She can't very well demand that they observe a period of mourning. Yamiko-san. She hears the door quietly. Kyoji's tone is subdued, which prompts Yamiko to answer in a cheerful, teasing tone. Oh, where's Akane-chan? She went home. Shouldn't you walk her back home? She said it'd be fine. Yamiko-san, listen. Kyoji fidgets for a moment, unsure of what to say, but eventually musters his courage and resolutely lifts his head. Listen, I'm sorry that you had to see that, but... Hold on. What are you apologizing to me for? I mean... Objectively, he might not have done anything wrong, but he probably still feels guilty and wants to confess to someone. But after what happened, Yamiko is in a bit of a teasing mood. As unreasonable as it might be for her to indulge herself, she's still shaken by Yoshiki's passing. There's nothing wrong with what you did. You love your girlfriend, so that's why you did it, right? I'm not your mother. If you decided to do that, I have no say in it. But if you're apologizing anyway, you must feel like you did something wrong, right? Yamiko has to admit that was mean, even by her standards. He awkwardly averts his gaze and hangs his head. I mean, not really. It's fine anyway. Just remember you're still in school, so make sure to use a rubber. You can't take responsibility if you end up getting her pregnant, right? I know that. With that mumbled answer, Kyoji leaves the room. Now all that's left is a bitter aftertaste of having bullied someone. Bullying, eh? She shrugs with a wry smile. They spend the next day in awkward silence. The following day, Yamiko acts like last night didn't happen. Kyoji does the same. As he sits at the breakfast table eating toast, Kyoji sneaks a glance at Yamiko, who's sitting opposite him. Yamiko's the same as ever. At least she looks the same. What is it? Would you like me to get you something? Noticing him staring, she glances back at him curiously. Margarine? Jam? No, jam, please. Okay, here you go. By the time he finishes eating, the doorbell rings like it does every morning. Nothing is out of the ordinary about this, but after yesterday's events, the sound makes him jolt in his seat. The sight that greets him upon opening the door dumbfounds him. Good morning, Kyoji. That doesn't look like Akane, guys. Akane stands before the doorway with a smile on her face. But, Akane, what's with that getup? Does it not suit me? What do you think? Akane cocks her head curiously as she pinches the hem of her skirt, lifting it up. While it's not about whether he feels like he has to avert his eyes, he can see her underwear both up top and downstairs. Her breasts pop out of her revealingly unbuttoned blouse. Her lips are red as if she's put on lipstick. They have the same glossy shine he remembers from yesterday. Hot, isn't it? Akane's lips curl into a lopsided smirk as she brings her face close to his. Hey, Akane, cut that out! Why? Why are you... Akane, you're acting like a completely different person. He gently pushes her away, causing Akane to sadly furrow her brows. Did you like the old me better? You don't like me now? No, it's not that I don't like you, but Akane... If you like it, then it's all good, right? She brings her face closer to his again, gazing at his face with her salacious eyes, his head spinning. He's dizzy, unable to resist her. He can't say no. But just as he's about to accept to let himself be pulled, the sound of someone coughing dryly behind him pulls him out of those thoughts. Good morning, Akane-chan. Akane was about to put a hand on Kyoji's shoulder, but she now shoots a dirty look in Yamako's direction. I can't say I don't understand how you feel, but there's a time and place for everything, and besides... Suddenly, Yamako's eyes widen. She didn't see it before. Probably Kyoji is standing in front of Akane hiding her, but she finally realizes just how unusual Akane's attire is. Even Yamako, of all people, who hardly is a stickler for propriety, who's hardly a stickler for propriety, can't help but frown. Akane-chan, why are you dressed like that? I'll admit it's sexy, but it's not like you. Shut up. At first, Kyoji isn't sure where that voice came from. Maybe the TV in the living room was too loud or something. But no, without a doubt, those words came from Akane's lips. Kyoji and Yamako are speechless. They can't believe it. She's so different. It's like she's a different person. Akane isn't done yet. She sneers openly at Yamako. I know that at your advanced age, you couldn't pull off this outfit, but try not to be too jealous, okay? Or what? Are you jealous I'm taking Kyoji away from you? Akane! Completely ignoring Kyoji's protests, Akane unapologetically shrugs and smiles. I'll go on ahead, Kyoji. Hey, wait up! He turns to look at Yamako, who is still standing stunned in the doorway. Yamako-san, I'm sorry. I'll make sure Akane apologizes later. He then chases after Akane. Okay, so... Obviously, we've got the feeling that something isn't right here. We still got some time, so I think we can still do more Gore Screaming Show. So, we'll see you for more Gore Screaming Show on Grimm's Hentai Corner during Dark Month. I'm out.